Welcome to Story Paths. I'm Theodore Lowry. This is part two of an exploration of what I'm calling a third ethics. The first being personal, the second being interpersonal, and the third being global. I feel that a collective development of this third ethics is being asked of us by the world and by this time. If you haven't listened to the first episode, I suggest you go back and hear it. And in this second episode, we will explore a sense of global ethics in relation with story. In we go. Now here is a fictional example that indicates third ethics, although it's a bit weirder and more scheming than what I really have in mind for the third ethics. And this example is the Bene Gesserit, the galactic order of witches in the story Dune. So in this story, there are various powerful houses that have been existing for hundreds or thousands of years. And sometimes they cooperate, and often they compete. So there's a lot of vying for power going on in this story, in this galaxy. And all the while, you have this order of ladies, some of whom are married, some of whom are not. Some are young, some are old. But this interconnected web of ladies is keeping an eye on the big picture. They may not always know whether this house will win or that one will, and so they place bets on either side. They are not for or against any particular house or any particular emperor. They move with the possibilities and keep an eye out for the grand picture to make sure there is stability. So this is something like this third ethics, where one group is vying for their benefit and another is vying for their benefit. And then you have these people who are not invested in the victory of this side or that side. They're considering the whole. Now, of course, they have their vested interests, and each of us do. But it's still an illustrative, fictional example showing how we can be of a people and yet also considering a wider picture that includes many different people and really, in our times, ecology. And there is a strong ecological message in Dune as well. Acting within the first and second spheres of ethics, I might make choices that make a lot of sense. A journey to a distant land for self-discovery. Getting a big four-wheel drive vehicle for the safety of my family. Within the first and second spheres of ethics, they make sense, but in the third, they have consequences that I may not be considering. What is the impact on the local people in the place that I'm going? What is the impact on our air caused by the way I choose to travel? And although my four-wheel drive vehicle may be safe for my family, in the third field of ethics, I find that the fuel it uses is very destructive in its extraction and its burning, as is the mining and melting of the virgin metal used to make the chassis. Now it seems to me that these three spheres of ethics are in a dance with each other. The first and second are important, my own well-being and the well-being of those whom I consider to be mine. And yet if I act on these to the exclusion of the third sphere, the wider impact of my actions, then there'll come a time, and perhaps it comes right away in a subtle manner, when my own well-being and the well-being of those I know and care for will also be affected. For if we learn one thing from the spiritual teachings of the world, it's that all beings are in interrelation with each other. As Martin Luther King said, an inescapable network of mutuality. As he said in 1963 from the Birmingham jail, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Looking at religion, we can find some ideas, some codes that have helped people in the past and the present consider the wider implications of their actions. There's the concept of karma, simply put, of cause and effect. If I commit a harm to another being now, even if the fruit of that harm doesn't come to poison me, I will eventually have to taste that fruit in this life or another life. The concept of sin is similar. I may be able to get away with something now, but in the long term, God will punish me for what I did. Connected with karma, there's the path of dharma, which teaches that I should do good not just for an immediate result or even a long-term result, but that I should do good for the sake of my spiritual upliftment and that of others. And this sense of acting a good way for its own sake can be found in spiritual paths throughout the world. What are other ways we might bring distant places close to us? There are apps that tell me how much pollution I'm responsible for. And perhaps there could be apps that tell me the consequences of my buying this kind of lemon, which comes from 20 miles away, compared to this kind of lemon, which comes from 200 miles away, or 1,000. It could be mandatory that when a car is sold, or a phone, that included in that, just like these descriptions on cigarette packages, included in that is the consequences to people and place and creatures of creating that product. The mining, the slavery, the economic dispossession, the pollution, and perhaps there could even be names in there. That might bring it home. Here's a questionnaire from author, poet, farmer and elder Wendell Berry. Questionnaire. How much poison are you willing to eat for the success of the free market and global trade? Please name your preferred poisons. For the sake of goodness, how much evil are you willing to do? Fill in the following blanks with the names of your favorite evils and acts of hatred. What sacrifices are you prepared to make for culture and civilization? Please list the monuments, shrines, and works of art that you would most willingly destroy. In the name of patriotism and the flag, how much of our beloved land are you willing to desecrate? List in the following spaces the mountains, rivers, towns, and farms you could most readily do without. State briefly the ideas, ideals, or hopes, the energy sources, the kinds of security for which you would kill a child. Name, please, the children whom you would be most willing to kill. Bringing it home, bringing the widespread consequences of our choices and inaction home. Which children would you be most willing to kill? Which land would you be most willing to desecrate? For the consequences, though they might seem general, are specific. Places. People. creatures. We might turn away from technology and apps and such and look at spiritual methods of connecting with those places. In connecting with this space, with this moss and this water, might I consider the water in Nigeria, in Alberta, in Costa Rica, in Australia? Might I consider that I have as much responsibility for the well-being of that water as I do this water, as I do the water in my own body? I might approach this in a ceremonial way, bringing cups of water into my sensory space and saying, "This is the water of the south. This is the water of the east, of the north, of the west, and I am of them. And they are of me." If I learn to do so, I might travel to the lands of the First Nations in Alberta who are being so affected by oil extraction. I might travel there and witness their struggles and consider them as my relations when I decide whether or not to get a car or to get on an airplane. And, of course, story is another way that we might do this. To read the stories of refugees in other countries, to read the stories of those living on islands in the ocean amid rising sea levels, to read the stories of those in the north who cannot find as much food as they used to read those stories and imagine myself in those situations, thereby expanding my sense of self and my sense of place. Stories are amazing at inviting us into empathy for people very different from ourselves. So much so that author Lynn Hunt figures that the advent of the 18th century novel, the modern novel as we know it, that the popularity of this experience of readers entering into minds very different from themselves through these novels, this collective experience may just be the basis of the human rights movement as we know it today. Consider that this art form that made it widely possible for people to sit by themselves, look at these symbols on a piece of paper, and enter into the minds of others, more so even than they might enter into the minds of those near them, because in the fiction, those minds are transparent. This art form and the empathy, the kinship that it allows, may just have kindled the empathy and kinship required for a movement which said all people have worth. All people have worth. All people are not so different from ourselves. And furthermore, through stories, we can learn to empathize with beings who are not human and who are not, perhaps, totally different from ourselves. And perhaps if I can encompass all that within my sense of self and place, perhaps I will make decisions that benefit not just me or those around me, but in at least a small way, this whole beautiful green, blue, brown, cloudy, watery globe upon whom we are spinning through space. It wasn't that long ago we first saw photographs of the Earth taken from space. That moment was part of a big shift for us, shifting towards a larger awareness, from first ethics, then including second, then including third, And perhaps from here, there could be fourth. Considering not just our own planet, but other planets, other beings out there with whom we are in relation and to whom we are of consequence. And here's some prompts. Consider something you've bought recently and see if you can trace down where the parts of that thing came from, where it was sourced, who helped create it. See if you can find some of the story behind it. Bring that into your awareness. Consider work that you do regularly and a tool that you often use, perhaps a computer. If you can't find specifically where each of these items and the computer came from, can you take a guess? Can you learn about some of them? And learn a bit about that part of the world. Hear some stories from that place, if you can. Consider it part of your backyard, part of your responsibility. And I'll do the same.